John chapter 1 is an absolute amazing chapter. You know, it's one of those, you read that and there's so much information in there. And fortunately, we're not going to be able to go through all of it, but I wanted to talk about Jesus is the light of the world. You know, when I think about where we're going and the directions the Lord is taking us today and next week and then into our Christmas Eve service, it just speaks so powerfully for us to start right here about Jesus being light. If you look at John chapter 1, and really I'm reflecting the message, I'm not going to read all 14 verses, it's the first 14 verses there. Let me just read a portion of it, if you'll follow along. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can you say amen to that? There is a tremendous amount of information just right there. When you look at all that's there, we could literally spend probably a month or two just in that first chapter, and fortunately we don't have that kind of time. But I wanted to look at just the idea of light and what the Word of God tells us about light. Because right now, we have an absence of light. Living in the Northwest, slowly but surely, light is going away, have you noticed? I have good news, though. We are about ready to come up to the winter solstice. You know, obviously the sun is sort of moving away from the earth because of the tilt of our earth. The sun actually is not moving, the earth is moving. I just want you to know that's how it works, amen? But on Monday, December 21st at 8:49, sunrise will begin at, that's military time, that's 7:56. Wow. Do not get up before then. And then sunset at 16:21. That's 4:21 in the afternoon when the sun is supposed to stay up. And it's going to be like that just for a couple days. This particular day will be the longest night and the shortest day. And then, starting on the 22nd, the 23rd, we will have 30 seconds more of sunlight thereafter. Can you say amen to that? When you think about the Northwest, matter of fact, I was talking, my son is in Alaska right now. He's in the Air Force. He's on a mission right now. And he was telling me, Dad, the sun sets at 2:30. And rises about 8 o'clock. Can you imagine? Man, are we not thankful for light? So I want you to know it's worse somewhere else. Praise God. Light is a major theme in the Bible. The Bible has a lot to tell us about light. Matter of fact, there's so much information because in John it tells us God is light and there is no darkness in Him at all. God is 100% light. You understand that and understand what this means. We'll talk more about it. 2 Corinthians tells us, for God, who said, let there be light in darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Corinthians here is reflecting back and quoting from Genesis. Because you might remember that first created act of God was to create light. And here what's happening is an amazing connection because it reminds us God had said, let there be light in the darkness. There was a void, there was a darkness, then came light. And He has made this light shine in our hearts. The very same light that was created in the beginning is the same light that He says will shine in your hearts. I want you to get, that's a very powerful statement. What that's telling us is the very creative power of God that began light out of darkness is that same creative power that comes into your life. Not just that you're illuminated and somehow glow in the dark, but this is about God's creative power that fills our heart, our soul, and literally changes and transforms us. Jesus spoke to the people once more in John 8 and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to what? Life." And once again, it was clearly understood that there is life. I mean, think about the first Christmas. The angels appeared and around those shepherds, and there, it tells us that there was an amazing light. I mean, with the very announcement, there was lots of noise and sound and light because it speaks so much of life. I'd like for you and I to look at life, and I'd like us to understand light in our life. There's this amazing acronym that I've come up with, LIGHT. Lighting our lives, integrating God's Word, guiding our steps, healing our hurts, transforming our lives. There will be a test next week. You have to know the acronym before you can get your coffee. You'll be asked, what does LIGHT stand for? And you will know right away. God comes to bring light into our life. I know how you feel about the end of this year, but I think some people are just looking back and going, it was an amazing year. And some of us are looking back going, thank God, it's almost 2016. Depending upon where you are, I mean, we've talked to people, and I know people have gone through some deep times, and they might even say it's been a little dark because of what has taken place. I mean, sometimes it feels dark when you're going through financial troubles, or it feels dark when someone has gone away, they've passed away. It feels a little dark sometimes when you go through different crises and different things that come our way. But I want you to know something, that no matter what might happen, God has something brighter for us. Because God's light doesn't come on and then stop. God's light continues to increase in brightness. The glory of God doesn't have an end. And when you understand light, you realize when God brings it light, it continues to get brighter and brighter. And somehow we think of light like the light's on. It can't get any brighter. These lights are as bright as they're going to be. With God, you got to conceptualize what the Word says. It continues to get brighter and brighter. There's more brightness in front of us. Can you say amen to that? How exciting is that to realize that when God says, I will be the light of your life, there's a beginning and it keeps on going forever. When he says, I'm the light of the world, he reminds us that he's not yet the light of the entire world because there are still some people in darkness. We still live in a time. But what this tells us and helps us understand is that there is a time when there will be light that will cover the entire planet. A day will come where there will be no darkness, a day we can look forward to when the light will so shine. It'll be absolutely amazing. And he tells us that, you know what? There is no other light than Jesus. Now, I want to be clear about something because we live in a confusing time. And what I love about light is light brings clarity. And here's what the Word says. There's light and there's dark. Period. The world would suggest alternatives to light. There is no alternative. The Word makes it absolutely clear in John. There is light, there is dark. There is Jesus, there is evil. And you got to understand something. Either you're in the light or you're not. Now, that seems pretty simple, but yet in the church today, there are a lot of people who think somehow they can walk in twilight, or somehow they can walk in partial light, or somehow that they can, the Scripture even talks about, and Jesus says, there are those who are on the outskirts of the light, called in the outside darkness. That darkness, which is spoken of, are really, and here's the deal, if you're there, you're in dark, looking to the light. And either you step in or you don't. Now, I want to be clear on that. God's Word tells us you are in light or you're not. And so that becomes a real challenge to us in understanding what is being spoken of to us. It reminds us that the one who is light uses that light, and can you go backwards? You kind of got ahead of me for a second. Really goes into light to expose what's going on. I want you to understand something. I thought about this, and over the years, and Scripture tells us this very clearly. Some people are afraid of the light. You know why they're afraid of the light? Because it's going to show the ugliness. I mean, some people don't like to be in a bright light because you can see the blemishes, you can see the imperfections. Now, I want you to know something. Everyone in this room has imperfections. You see a minute of that? So don't worry about it. But we're afraid of that. Matter of fact, there's a lot of our world that would like to suggest that somehow we can cover up and that we ought to cover up, and somehow there's something wrong with imperfections, like somehow to be perfect is the best thing. And I want you to understand that doesn't translate in the Word of God. Here's what God's Word says. He says, I'm going to bring light to expose the imperfection, the ugliness, the blemishes. And here's what we think. Well, great, now I'm going to walk around and everyone's going to see my imperfection. But here's what the light also does. It burns away those imperfections. And you want to be beautiful? Then stand in the light of Jesus. Because what happens is a radiance and a glow that truly transforms us. Because this is what I love about God. Because there are times when you're sitting there and you let God and His light shine on you, and you see for a moment what's ugly in you. And I had that same thought. I thought, oh, I don't want to see this. But here's what I know. I see it, I deal with it, and then it's gone. Can you submit to that? And when you understand this and begin to get it, then all of a sudden you're no longer afraid to stand in the light of God. You're willing to let Him expose those things because you know the result is going to be absolutely good. Yes, it might be a little painful. It might require a little bit of a struggle, but the result is absolutely amazing. Don't be afraid of God's light. Don't be afraid of letting Him burn away those things that are imperfect. You know, it tells us in John, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me, that's Jesus, will no longer remain in the dark. Jesus came to save us, not scare us. And I think a lot of people are afraid of God. They're afraid because, well, if I get in the light of God, you're going to see what's imperfect. You're going to see what's wrong. I mean, all of a sudden, all these things are going to happen. And you and I have to understand that God does all these things because He really does love us. I mean, it's kind of crazy that as I've gotten to know the Lord, I've realized, because in the very beginning, I mean, wow, receiving Jesus, that was scary. I mean, God. I mean, and I've heard people refer to Him so inappropriately as, wow, the big guy, the man. And all of a sudden, you come before this amazing force that almost at somehow feels impersonal and distant. And then you receive Jesus, and all of a sudden you realize how very personal it is, how very close it is, how very life-changing it is, and how absolutely amazing it is. And all of a sudden, you're not afraid. That's why the psalmist says, His perfect love casts out fear, all fear. You got to realize we're not talking about fear of those little things like spiders and things, right? We're talking about the kind of big fear that holds and grips a human heart, that stops us, the insecurities, the anxieties, the kinds of things that stop us from moving forward into the things of God and going, if you will, into the brighter light. I mean, there's something that God wants us to understand. And here's what I've learned, that for me to go into the light and to stay in the light required, I got to trust God. I had to learn to trust Him. I still remember those first beginning years and throughout I've been walking with the Lord for over 40 years, and I think about that time, and as I go through, there are times when I'm going, God, I'm a little nervous right now. I need to trust You again for this situation or that, and although I've got a volume of great experience, and I can remember how God is time and time again, yet isn't it kind of human that even each new experience you question again, God, are You really still there? And then I have to question myself, am I really hearing You? That's probably more of the problem than anything else. And I'm trusting myself with God. Trust is critical in our walk with the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Trust is critical in any relationship. You know, you and I need to trust the Lord and learn to trust each other. You know, I have this amazing experience that will happen, and recently, and this happens time and time again, I'll have a husband and wife come into my office, and in this case, it was just a great example of a husband coming out of darkness into light. And he had been living in the dark for a really long time. We even talked kind of that way. That was a bit of the metaphor. He even said to me, you know, Steve, I've been hiding, and he had been living a secret life. Matter of fact, he had been living this secret life for about 32 years, living a life that was hidden with sexual sin and lying and deception. He had been living all kinds of different things, and he was finally discovered, and if you will, and he even said this, yeah, the light came on at work. They found me out and fired me. And that was the beginning. For him, he looks back and said that was the beginning of God's healing. It was the end of a lot of things. He almost lost his marriage, his family. He lost his job. He lost his income. All that happened in a moment. But it wasn't really a moment. He'd been getting ready for that moment for decades by hiding his life. Let me tell you something. Stuff like that really challenges me and reminds me of how important it is to stay in the light. Here's what I've learned. I want to say this to all of us. It can happen to anybody. I've learned it does happen. Pastors, teachers, professional people, laborers, clerks, military people, all of us can find ourselves trapped in the dark. Let it be a warning. But let me also encourage you, because what happens when you come to the light, because he was scared to come in the light. He was scared, but also it was forced on him. He had no choice. He was, and I want to be clear, he was discovered. His wife and he made the choice to bring healing and repair work in their relationship. And when they came and we began talking about how was this going to happen, I said, we've got to bring everything into the light. I said those exact words. He says, what do you mean? In order for this marriage to survive and for you to recover, this is going to require complete trust that will come as a result of total openness and 100% honesty. I need both of you to be honest with each other and to be open with each other. That's the only way we're going to repair this thing. And she looked at him and says, yeah, he ought to be that way. And I looked at her and so should you. Because it isn't just about him. She says, what do you mean? I didn't do anything bad. I said, okay, we'll start there. Because she wasn't that open. There's a lot of things that go with that. But what began to happen, and what is happening, trust is being rebuilt because of the conversation. Because, let me tell you something, the same thing is true with God and Jesus in your life. You begin to be open and honest with the Lord. You begin to interact with him in this ongoing dialogue, and all of a sudden, trust is built, and amazing things start happening. And your life does really change because what you do is you start really integrating the truth into your life. I mean, so much of what we're about is to bring about God's integration that we're called, let me get the eye here, we're called to integrate God's word. You know, Pilate was talking to Jesus and said, so you're the king. And Jesus responded, you say I am the king. Actually, I was born and came to this world to testify to the what? Say that word, to the what? Truth is a big deal. I want you to know something. Jesus will always tell you the truth. That brings peace to me because he's 100%. Because we live in a world that people lie a lot, deceive a lot. All you have to do is turn on the TV, watch it for about 5 minutes, and you will see lies, you will see deception. Watch a commercial. I mean, this person on the commercial is talking about how sick they are, and then underneath the screen, you ever read that? This is an actor pretending to be someone they're not. None of it's real. We have reality shows. They're not reality. They're scripted. There's all kinds of people around trying to create something, and I'm amazed at how sometimes you talk to people and you got to remind them, that is a television program, not real life. Truth is something that we don't see a lot of. You listen to a politician right now, we're all about politics, and how frustrated are we wondering, so what's the truth? We hear one thing and then, you know, days, weeks later, we hear something else and we're going, wait a second, didn't you? And then, of course, we hear this message, well, I didn't really mean to say what I said. And you kind of go, so when do we finally count it as truth? Now, in all that confusion, as difficult as it is, people lie to us at work. People lie to us when we go to the store. People lie to, it's frustrating. There's one person who will never lie to you. His name is Jesus. Every time you open the Word of God, it's truth. I want to be clear. It's 100%. It's always 100%. Nothing in there is untruthful. Jesus said, I've come to testify and to speak truth. And when you move to that place and integrate this truth into your life, you know what? Everything changes. It's so important for you and I to bring this. I mean, I want the truth from God. A long time ago, I've said this to God a bunch of times. God, don't ever leave me in any other position but in the light and in truth. Because I don't want to mess up what you have given to me. I don't want to be in a position where somehow I allow deception to take me down. I don't want to ever be that kind of person. I want to be someone, and I want to speak truth. I want to be, and I tell you, man, I work at being straightforward. I mean, I'm kind of that way. I can be kind of blunt because I don't want any misunderstanding. I was thinking about this because this was a little while ago. I remember going to the doctor, and I went to the doctor and had some tests done, and he came out, and I don't know about you, but I don't want my doctor coming out and saying, well, I think maybe you might have something wrong. But don't worry about it. Take these pills. Go home. You'll be fine. I mean, you realize there are some cultures in the world where doctors will not tell the truth. Matter of fact, the family will go to the doctor and say, don't tell that family member the whole truth. I've been there where families have tried to hide from their loved ones' truth, because they think somehow they don't want to. And I've been there in the bedside of someone who wasn't told the truth, who's looked at me and said, could you tell me what's really going on? I'd like to know the truth. I want my doctor to come to me because it brings peace. I want him to look at me and says, okay, here's what you've got. You've got this disease, and here's what we're going to do. 1, 2, 3. We can fix this. We can manage this. We can take care of it. And here's the whole story. I don't want him holding anything back. And I want him to give me truth. Because then I can move forward with it. Isn't it interesting how God says the same thing? He says, okay, this is how you live. 1, 2, 3. Here's how we can fix this. Here's what we can do. And yet the world says that's judgmental. Have you ever looked at your doctor and says, well, that's pretty judgmental of you to come up with that disease? You have a judgmental heart, doctor. I don't think I have that disease. I'm not going to believe that. So, you know, we'll just go somewhere else with that. I'll go down and find another doctor who will tell me something different. I mean, is that what you want? I mean, you want to find someone who's not going to speak truth in your life. And this is what the Word of God speaks. This is what Jesus is speaking to us. He's saying that we are going to be followers of him, and our job is to take this truth and integrate and apply it in everything that we say or do. And sometimes it's not easy. But you know what God says, and there's a whole other message, but I want to remind you, he provides help called the Holy Spirit. The Scripture says when the Spirit of truth, notice the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into what? All truth. He will guide us. Matter of fact, that's what our next letter is, G. He will guide us. And the next letter, G, there we go. Guiding our steps. I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness, for living light will flood your path. Can you say amen to that? I want God to guide me. I would rather be guided by God than anyone else. Can you say amen to that? Why do you let other people guide you? Why do you let other ideologies or philosophies guide you? The best guide that brings the most amazing light to guide us is the Word of God. God's provided us a way to get through whatever darkness we come across. You know, I enjoy diving. The other day I was in the Puget Sound. It was an amazing warm 46 degrees. Just refreshes you, wakes you up. And I was with some other divers, these new divers that I'd finished training, and they were just kind of hanging out, and we were going to enjoy the amazing view of the Puget Sound at about 45, 50 feet. And we got down there, and as we kind of went down and slowly descended, all of a sudden light began to go away, and we entered into darkness. And I had three divers very close to me. Have you ever been hugged while diving? That's kind of like that. They didn't have any light, but I did. And so I brought out my underwater light, I turned it on, and it just brightened. And all of a sudden there was marine life, there was color, it was just an amazing. And they still hugged me, because only I had the light. And it was kind of amazing. Wherever I went, they went. Because they wanted to follow the light. And that's what God brings into our lives, is light. And I'll tell you something, when you're in the darkness and someone turns the light on, you get close to that light. Because it's a little uncomfortable being in the darkness at 45 feet, not sure what's coming up behind you. That sounds scary, doesn't it? None of it's true. Nothing's going to come up behind you. But you see, that's what happens. That's why we're afraid. We're afraid because we live in darkness, and the minute light comes on, you see clearly, all of a sudden doubt goes away. Fear goes away. Insecurity goes away. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There is a cure for low self-esteem. There is a cure for human beings' insecurity. It's the light of God. When you turn the light on, everything changes. Let me tell you, it isn't a relationship that's going to bring light. It isn't the new job or career that's going to bring the light. It's not going to be the change of location or geography that's going to do it. See, a lot of us bring substitutes for God's light. And we think somehow the answer is a relationship, a career, a change in my job. It has to do with where I'm living. Maybe some of us think, you know what? If I was living in Oregon, it would be better. Or maybe if I moved to California, it would be better. I want you to know it doesn't matter. Because here's what I've learned. Wherever you move, you're still going there. And it's you that makes the problem, not the geography. Now, if you can leave yourself behind, everything will be different. What we really need is the light of the world, which is Jesus. So you're having a hard time? It's really simple. All you got to do, turn the light on. That's all it is. Why don't we turn the light on? I mean, I've often thought about all you got to do is flip the switch. You know, you're going through, you can't see what's going on, turn the light on. And what do we mean by that? What's God, when we turn on God's light, that means you open up the Word of God. You read the Word of God. You study the Word of God. You talk to the Lord. It's called praying. You seek the Lord's voice. You fast. You seek counsel. All of a sudden, You have Jesus in your life, and what happens is you're turning a light on. And that becomes what illuminates the path and helps us understand where we need to go. And everything changes when you turn the light on. And God does this amazing thing. He guides us, and He heals us, and He transforms us. I mean, one of the amazing things that takes place is healing our hurts. Jesus came to heal. You know, medical science can do a lot. But science hasn't figured out how to heal a broken heart. Science hasn't figured out how to heal a wounded life. But Jesus can. Jesus can heal what's been broken inside a human being. I've talked with a lot of people, and I've discovered every human being I've ever talked to has woundedness. The difference is some of you are just more quiet about it. You put up a better front. I don't need a prophetic word to know that every one of you here has something inside of you that is hurt. We all do. And you're living with a wound that you don't have to live with. But you've chosen to live with it rather than bring it into the light of healing life. And that's just coming into that place with Jesus. I think of Christmas, and Christmas can be a wounding time. I love Christmas, and I hate Christmas. Because I've seen more people hurt and wounded this time of the year. You know, it just feels so lonely for some people. Others, it just reminds them of the pain and suffering that maybe they're going through and what they don't have. I've had people share with me, I can't wait for the Christmas dinner with my family. So we get to go pretend for 2 or 3 hours that everything's okay. Because there's so many unresolved issues, so many hurts and woundednesses that we just don't talk about, but somehow we're going to get together and pretend like everything's okay. Because we don't want light there. And when you begin to process and think about that and what all that means for some of us, you begin to realize how very frustrating. Everything's about celebration. Let me tell you something, light can heal. A little while ago, I had this amazing experience where light healed my eyes, called laser surgery. I mean, have you ever been almost legally blind? I had minus 400 in both my eyes. I had to wear glasses. I wear contacts, so a lot of you didn't even know that. I've been wearing glasses since I've been 4 years old. I was cute wearing glasses. But I didn't feel very cute as I got older because my glasses got thicker and there was a lot of things I couldn't do and I struggled with and I thought. And then one day someone said, we could change everything for you in about 34 seconds. And they were right. 32 seconds in one eye, about 36 seconds in the other eye, and that laser light hit my eye under the skill of a physician. And then he got done, I sat up, and 1 hour later, I could see. No glasses. I will never forget that moment. I couldn't believe it. And I can't tell you how many years I kept doing this, adjusting my glasses that weren't there. I remember waking up thinking, I've left my glasses on. Because I could finally see the clock at night. Light brought light. God's light heals. Some of us struggle with seasonal affective disorders. It's just a typical Northwest problem. The absence of light. And you know what? Light can heal. You know, that's actually, if you really do have that, your hypothalamus and your brain in that area actually has a lower level of certain hormones that you need in order to recover and feel a little bit better. And here's what happens. Here's what we know is when you have a special light that you read by or sit under for an hour or so, that those hormones are produced And all of a sudden, you raise in your feelings, you actually, the depression lifts because of a simple thing, light heals. Can you say amen to that? Now, that's just common knowledge. But can you imagine how much more the light of God heals? I want you to be encouraged to come to that place of letting the light of God heal and let it transform you. The Word of God tells us that there is transformation that takes place. It says what counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. Let me tell you what God does. Let me just summarize this way very simply. Number one, God brings new life. Where is another God like you who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of a special people? You will trample our sins under our feet and throw them into the depths of the sea. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There is new life. Can you say amen to that? Over 40 years ago, I experienced new life. And here's what happens. I've continually to experience new life. Isn't this a one-time deal? God continues to bring new life. And then he brings abundant life. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more what? Abundantly. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. There's an abundance of what God would bring. This is talking about peace and joy. And then, of course, eternal life. God has an amazing retirement plan for every one of us. It's called eternal life. It's the best. So that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have, say it with me, have what?
Eternal.
There you go. New life, abundant life, eternal life. God transforms you. But here's the deal. Now listen, you got to come into the light. You need to step into the light. And when you do, it all changes. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that reminds us of life, new life, abundant life, eternal life, all because we enter into the light. I pray, Lord, that we would enter, every one of us, into the brightness of the glory of God. You said, Lord God, that when we receive that light, we radiate your glory. Lord, I think of perhaps one or two here that may not and has not chosen to step into the light. I pray for courage to step into the light, to experience that new life, abundant life, eternal life. For some of us, we have moved out to the edge. I pray that we would move away from the edge and back into the light. Give us strength to do that. Help us, Lord God. Lord, you are so amazing. Lord, what you bring to us is just astounding. And I pray that you would open our eyes to see. Because when our eyes open, your word tells us that light has come into our eyes.